this morning. And then we'll have about almost 2 months, I guess, where I'll be preaching from the lectionary when I'm in the pulpit. There'll be a couple weeks where I'm not the preacher, but we'll be preacher from the lectionary. It's a resource that basically gives you four different passages of Scripture every week, and you cover most of Scripture in a three-year period, and lots of churches around the world use the lectionary every single Sunday of the entire year. So in some ways, we're just joining in with reading Scripture and exploring Scripture with millions of other Christians around the world for 6 weeks or 8 weeks each year. We kind of do that at the beginning. But for this morning, I kind of want to do this one-off thing where I talk a little bit about the new year that we're embarking on. So I want to run an idea past you and see what you think. I have no idea if it's correct. It's a new idea to me. I'm still processing, and I could be totally wrong. So you can come tell me after the service. I won't be offended, because there's some chance I am wrong on this. And yet it's the idea that's guiding the whole sermon this morning. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. I want to say one thing before I say the idea. I'm going to talk a little bit about identity here for the next few minutes, about kind of who we are. And so I will preface what I'm about to share, kind of maybe a little bit of a radical idea, by saying that I think our core identity comes from and is found in Christ. That God gives us our identity of who we are. And primarily, that's things like we are loved, we are worthy, we are valuable in God's eyes, and ultimately, we are saved. He gives us these kind of things. I could probably say a handful of other things that are kind of core to who we are because of Christ. They're not things about our personality. It's not things I like to do, or it's not things about my temperament. I think our core identity, the thing that is central to who we are, doesn't come from anything in our world around us, or it doesn't come from our likes and dislikes. I think it ultimately comes from who God is and who He has endowed us to be. So I will say that we do have an identity. There is a self that we have. There is a who we are, but ultimately that comes from Christ. And that is God endowed upon us. And I say that to set up my kind of thesis for the morning. All right, you ready? Here's my idea. I would say that there's no such thing as who I am. And I mean that in the sense of who I am as in my personality, who I am as an individual, who I am as a person, who I am as a parent, as a spouse, as an employee, as a follower of Christ. I would say there's no such thing as who I am, only who I was and who I'm becoming. I'm maybe arguing, and I could be totally wrong, that there's no kind of present self, there's only past and future. And that the same would be true for us collectively as a church, that as a church, as a body of Christ, there's no who we are, but only who we were and who we're becoming. Now let me try to explain before you disagree too sharply. I would say that in each moment, we are being shaped and changed by our surroundings. We are being confronted, bombarded by the world, the people around us, our experiences, God, Scripture, even the passage of time. As we get older and more mature and we've had more experiences in life, life is constantly bombarding us, and in each moment, I think that we are being shaped and changed by that moment, so that we can never say, all right, this is who I am. This is who I am. Right in this moment, freeze time, stop everything else, this is who I am. I'm wondering if that doesn't exist, if that's actually a farce, because we are always being shaped and changed and moved, sometimes backwards, sometimes in the wrong direction, and sometimes in the right direction, but I'm not sure we are actually capable of staying put, because we are always being affected by everything around us. We are never stagnant. Our past is endlessly shaping who we are becoming, whether that's a past from years and years and years ago or a past from like 3 seconds ago. I think our past is always shaping how we are becoming, whether we're moving forward or backward in who we are becoming. We are always in flux, either flowering or wilting in our lives, our marriages, our families, our relationships, our jobs, our faiths, in all of the different elements that make up our identity, what we would normally say is who we are. I think that that is always changing. The only thing that really stays the same, like I've said before, is the things that are endowed upon us by God. Everything else seems to be in flux. Our identities, our personalities, our skills, our relationships, our knowledge, our wisdom, right? None of us are the same person that we were 10 years ago. That's for certain. But I'm maybe even arguing that none of us are the same person right now in this second at 10:57 than we were in the parking lot or on the street before we walked through the doors and had an encounter with one another or sang some beautiful hymns that reminded us of God's goodness and Jesus' love in coming here. I actually think that we're different than we were a half an hour ago, that we're always in flux. We're always changing. And in fact, as followers of Christ, I'm actually thinking that that's what we should be shooting for, that that should be our goal, not stagnancy, but growth. The goal isn't who I am in Christ, but who I'm becoming in Christ. Who is God shaping me into being? What am I reading? How am I engaging with Scripture? How am I a person of prayer? How am I engaging with my faith community so that I'm never stagnant in who I just am as a person of faith, but I'm always becoming. I'm always changing. I'm always pushing forward. I'm always becoming something new. It's not what kind of Christian I am, but what kind of Christian I'm becoming. There's no such thing as who I am, only who I was and who I'm becoming. All right, that's kind of the premise, and I don't know if I buy it, but I think I do, but you can disagree with me later. Let's explore it a little further, all right? Let's move a little further. I looked back at some old sermon notes to see if I could find a time when I preached about this idea. There's been an idea that's been floating around in my head for a few years, and I couldn't remember if I had shared it with you or not. I didn't really want to double down on it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I won't dwell on it too long because I'm pretty sure I've written or talked about it before. But I have this idea that I've been processing, and I was thinking about it again this week. Because I think it's a helpful way to kind of keep unpacking the idea that we never are somebody, but we're only becoming somebody. And it's this phrase there's a phrase that gets used in my house dozens of times a day, maybe 100 times a day, that gets used in my house by my girls, by my two little girls. And it's the phrase, "How about?" And maybe I've mentioned this before, but my girls use the phrase, "How about?" like dozens of times a day, maybe 100 times a day, as they're playing around the house. "How about I'm a unicorn and you're my rider and you take me around the kitchen? How about I'm a leopard and you're my trainer and you're How about I'm a dog and you're a cat and we're playing together? How about we go jump on the trampoline? How about we go ride our bike? How about..." And it's almost always imaginative, though, in my house. How about I'm your mom and you're my kid and we're going to go bake in the play kitchen downstairs? How about all day, every day in my house? Imaginative, creative play. My kids dreaming and playing and having fun and imagining these new worlds. It's a fun phrase. I started to notice it maybe about a year ago that, oh my gosh, I hear that word so often, but it's kind of fun. It like took me back to days where I was more imaginative and more playful and more creative. It's a really fun phrase of endless possibilities. How about we're somewhere else? How about we're not just what we are? How about we become something else? It's a phrase of endless possibilities where nothing is off the table, where my girls could be or do anything. And usually it's animals, because you know my girls, but they could be anything. It's a fun phrase. How about is an active sort of existence. It's never passively allowing life to simply happen to us. It's not a word of contentment. It's never settling for mediocrity. It's always dreaming, always pushing forward, always about embracing a new world, always growing and progressing and becoming a more committed and faithful disciple. How about is ultimately a phrase about being on journey. And so as my kids have used this phrase over and over again, I've started to wonder why I don't more often, or why our church doesn't more often. Why don't we dream? How about in 2019 we do whatever God is calling us to do? What if we dreamed and asked that kind of question around our houses, around our workplaces, around our vocations, around our friends and our family, and here in the church? How about we really impact our community for Christ this year? It's this dream, this fun, imaginative, creative, dreaming kind of word, and it has nothing to do with stagnancy and being stale. It's a phrase that has nothing to do with who we are and everything to do with who we're becoming. How about we become something brand new in Christ? How about we do a brand new thing? How about we become a new kind of church? But I think that we too often lose that how about spirit. And I think the journey of becoming, rather than just being something, rather than the stagnancy of who we are, the journey of becoming requires that we regain that beautiful how about posture toward life. So I was thinking about this again. And I think we see this kind of movement all throughout Scripture. We see dreamers. We see movement. One of the chief ways of talking about life and faith throughout Scripture is journey. People are rarely content right where they are. Or at least the best stories of Scripture, the people are rarely content where they are. They're on the move. They're either escaping something that they need to escape, or they're moving faithfully into the next thing, like we see with the early church in the book of Acts. It's constant journey. You think about Adam and Eve. They struggle when they're dwelling comfortably in the status quo of Eden, even though it's perfect. Even though it should be awesome, when they're just kind of there and they're just hanging out in the garden and everything seems fine, they have struggles, no matter how perfect it is. And they're sent out of Eden then on a journey that will have ebbs and flows, good and bad, growth and stagnation. But they actually eventually start to journey with God instead of being ashamed of God, who sees their nakedness. You think about it with Abraham. He covenants with God, not by simply staying put and believing all the right things and living an easy, comfy existence. God shows up and doesn't say, I want you to start a church in Ur and raise up new Christians in Ur. What does he do? He sends them out of Ur. He sends them on a journey to a place that he would be shown. He doesn't even know where that journey is going to take him. We're just going. I'm just leaving where I am to become something new elsewhere. He's not even sent to a specific place, just sent on a journey of growth and discovery and learning to trust God. I'm not even going to tell you where you're going. I just want you to trust me. I want you to become friends with me. I want us to become in a relationship together. Or you see it with the Israelites. They're sent out of Egypt, which is a good thing, on a journey of learning to live with and follow God, but by fire and by cloud. They wander the desert. They climb mountains to get God's will for their lives. They live in tents, and so does God. It's this exciting new journey. And they complain at times, but they're on the move with God, and they're learning to follow God. And that's what things like the story of Exodus is all about. They're learning to live with God after they've come out of slavery. But then think about their story and when things go awry. Think about their worst moments of unfaithfulness. Moses is on Mount Sinai, and while he's gone and they're kind of camped there for a while, they build an idol, right? They build this golden calf. But God is a traveling and moving and always on the go kind of God. So God can't travel with a golden calf. So essentially what they've said is, we want to park down here and just worship something else and stay safe and comfy and cozy in what we know, in the status quo. And for them, it's idolatry. Or then a little later in the story, they decide that they need a king. They're not okay just following God. God has been their leader and their guide, and they've been on the move, and they've been nomadic in nature, and there's this ebb and flow to their relationship with God, but they decide, hey, we need a king. And kings don't like to move around. Kings need castles. They need palaces. They need to set up gigantic structures where they can live. They need a kingdom. And it's not long before God doesn't get to live in a tent like he wants to. He doesn't get to travel with his people anymore. He's given a temple, which in some, we think of a temple in good terminology now, and yet that's not what God ever really wanted, right? He loved the tabernacle. He loved to be on the move with his people in this dynamic kind of relationship, not a status quo, I only dwell in this little room kind of relationship. So the temple is actually kind of selfish in nature. It's a bit idolatrous, stagnant, and status quo, and now God is stuck there until Jesus comes along. He's not on the move anymore. And this recurring story of Scripture really is our story. We do the same thing. We have this awesome opportunity to journey with God. We get to go wherever he will go. We get to follow the Spirit and be on the move with him and not be stagnant and stale, and yet we chicken out and we opt for that comfy, cozy kind of life. We make choices where we're focusing too much on where we are now, and we forget that the discipleship task has always been about moving forward faithfully. It's never been about status quo. It's always been about moving forward and pushing forward faithfully into the future. Now, there's a dilemma here. Please hear me. I'm not trying to judge our ways too harshly, mostly because if I'm too judgmental, I'll actually be judging myself the worst. I have a job and a house and a stable life, and I like all that. I like it a lot. I kind of pride myself on the fact that we have settled down here in Bozeman after years of kind of nomadic living and being all over the country and moving from house to house. It's kind of nice. We've settled into this kind of comfy, cozy existence. I like that. I like the fact that we've settled down. And our church is pretty settled down as well. We have a building and a budget and a pretty set way of doing things. You all know that when you show up, it's not going to be too wild or weird on a Sunday morning. You kind of know what to expect. And we like that. We like that kind of comfy, cozy existence too. And so I don't want to criticize that too hard, because I'm not sure that we can walk away from that very easily. So the question then is for us, how can we have those things? Things that can way too easily make our lives and our faith stale and stagnant. Things that carry with them this potential for us to just live a mundane, kind of mediocre life where we're not actually trusting God and following God. How can we have those things in our life and still always be pushing the needle forward, always growing, always becoming a better person, spouse, parent, friend, employee, Christ follower? How can we have this building? How can we have our budget? How can you have me as a paid pastor? How can we have our routines and regularities about church and still be pushing the envelope forward and always be becoming as a church and never content with just who we are? Always wanting to grow. Always wanted to become better followers of Christ as a church. In a status quo kind of world, will we be committed to the process of growth and change and betterment of ourselves? Because it will take commitment. It is going to be hard. It is way too easy to slip back into old harmful patterns. It's way too easy to succumb to the stagnant, stale stuckness of the status quo. This commitment to always pressing forward, always growing, always becoming a more healthy, better version of ourself, it will take the kind of ruthless determination and commitment that I think we often see in our brothers and sisters in recovery. And I was thinking about that this week. Early in the week, there was a man in AA, and I had heard some guys talking the day before. They were celebrating that, oh yeah, we got to show up because this guy tomorrow, I don't know his name, I don't think I've ever met him, and I just overheard it from my office, so I don't even know who he was. He was the next day going to be there and celebrating 41 years of sobriety. And I was just kind of floored by the number. That's a large number, 41 years of sobriety. And I was listening to some of the stories they were telling, and then the next day I happened to be there when they were celebrating, and they asked him to share, and he didn't share much, but I was just kind of, I was overtaken, but man, 41 years of sobriety, that's incredible. And maybe the most incredible part of that is that even after 41 years of being sober, he is still in a process of commitment to growing and being healthy and saying no to temptations and talking with his sponsors when he struggles and showing up to meetings for encouragement and support. After 41 years, he still has all these same rhythms and routines that in his life, and they're not the kind of stagnant, stale ones. He hasn't just said, oh yeah, I'm not a drunk anymore. I'm sober now. That's not a problem for me. I'll just kind of rest in my sobriety. He's still pushing forward and saying, no, I got to keep showing up, and I got to keep working on this. I got to keep making sure that I'm staying true to this new person, this new sober person that I'm still becoming after 41 years of sobriety. He's been becoming sober for 41 years, and I have a feeling he always will be. He's still an alcoholic, right? That's the language in AA. Hello, I'm blank, and I'm an alcoholic. He's still not in the clear, and probably never will be after 41 years. His past continues to impact his present, but really, what matters, I think, very strongly to this man is his future, how he moves forward on the path towards sustained sobriety. So really, he's in the process of becoming sober even after 41 years of sobriety, and I think he always will be. He will never not be an alcoholic, but he is allowing who he was to influence his decisions moving forward in an effort to become more healthy. He's always in the process of becoming more healthy and whole and grounded and disciplined and spiritual. I find that really beautiful. And that's the kind of long-term commitment to constantly becoming that I think that we need. And I've been doing this Jesus follower thing for a long time, and so I'm as guilty as anyone that it's easy to just kind of rest on my laurels and say, I got this in the bag. Jesus and I, we've been tight for a long time. I don't really need to keep pushing forward. I don't need to keep growing. Like, I've figured myself out. Or I'd even say, like, I've gone through some ebbs and flows in my theology or my ways of thinking about God. I think I've come to a more healthy way of reading Scripture. All right, I arrived. I made it. I got there. Thank goodness I'm not like that old person. My past influenced who I became. Now I am a more astute reader of Scripture. I am a more astute follower of Christ. Now I can kind of take my foot off the gas and just back off. And I don't think that that's what it's about. It's about always becoming a more committed follower of Christ. It's about always becoming a more healthy human being, a more healthy parent, spouse, a worker, a follower of Christ, friend, all these kind of things that we have in our life. And I think that this is the perfect time of year to start making some decisions about who we will become in 2019. Obviously, this man in AA has made some decisions that continue to sustain him over the years. He continues to push forward. He's built some rhythms that aren't stagnant, stale rhythms, but continue to propel him forward into becoming more and more healthy. And I think this is the perfect time of year for us to kind of make some decisions about that too. We sometimes call them New Year's resolutions, but I think we're talking about more than just that. We're talking about more than just losing weight. We're talking about, I want to become a radically different person. I want God to constantly be shaping and moving me and taking me from here, which is always in flux, to a more beautiful place where we're setting some goals for us to become a more better person. So for you, for us as a church, what kind of ideas and rhythms and practices can we commit to and embody throughout this year that will keep our lives heading in the right direction? If we are in flux and we can either be moving backwards or forwards, flowering or wilting in our faith, what kind of decisions are we making? What kind of practices will we have in our life that will allow us to flower, that will allow us to always become in the right direction? We're always heading somewhere, so what things can we do that will help us become the sort of people that we would want God to form us into? So a few practical takeaways as we move to an end here. Two kind of quick things to start that aren't quite as practical as some of the other practical things I've been thinking about. But two quick things. The one thing I was thinking about when it comes to this, it is that I think we need to be careful not to judge others for where they are. When we think about there's no such thing as where we are, there's only where we were or where we're going, who we're becoming, then I think that we need to be really careful that we don't judge people too harshly for where they are. They are on a journey. They are constantly changing, and those people that I can judge so easily, they won't be the same person tomorrow that they are today. They could be worse. But what if I actually partnered with them in their life toward helping them become a better version of themselves? Our problem with someone shouldn't be who they are, but only who they are becoming. And the task then isn't to help them be just like us, because that's a stagnant status quo kind of goal, but rather to help each other become better together, to always be moving forward. And then the second thing I would mention right up front is that we need to be careful not to judge ourselves for who we are, because I think that that's a farce as well. Who we are today isn't who we will be tomorrow. So let's not be too hard on ourselves. There's two ways that we can kind of judge ourselves. We can judge ourselves as wrong, as bad, or as worthless, or we can judge ourselves as being right or good or worthy. And so if you're in the first camp where you're judging yourself as wrong, as bad, as worthless, the time is now to stop doing that, because chances are you aren't as wrong or bad or worthless as you think. And even if you are in a season of struggle, even if you are in a difficult place, you don't have to be that kind of person forever. You're always in flux. You're always in a process of becoming, of either positive or negative change. So simply, it's time to commit to becoming a better person, spouse, parent, friend, employee, Christ follower, on and on and on. And if you're a person who's judging themselves to be right and good and worthy all the time, maybe the time is now to stop doing that as well, because there is always room for growth. There's never room for us to think, I got this. I nailed it. I nailed life. 2018, dream year. I did it. Finally arrived. There's never room for that. We always need to push forward into becoming an even deeper and better person, spouse, parent, friend, employee, Christ follower. So never think that you've got it figured out. Never be content with where you are. Always be dreaming of who you might become in Christ. Become a how about kind of person, where we're dreaming and imagining a better world for us to become, that never rests in who we are and is always concerned with who we are becoming. All right, couple more things that are maybe a little more practical in nature. This is probably the time of the year to set some goals for the next year. And if you don't do it on a regular basis, I kind of encourage it. I know that New Year's resolutions usually get dropped within the first couple weeks. Gym memberships will be on the rise here in the next couple days, and then those people will be gone by middle of January. But it doesn't hurt to set some goals of who we might want to become, especially in our faith. Who might God want us to be? How might we become more healthy in this next year? So there's kind of an ideological, kind of a philosophical way of thinking about that, and then maybe a more practical way of thinking about setting goals. I mean, first of all, becoming in Christ starts with waking up and assuming that there will be ways to grow today and people to teach you. It means entering the world seeking to become a more holistically healthy follower of Christ. So first of all, it just involves saying, like, there's goals worth setting. Like, I can become a better person. I can become a better Christ follower. And I want to just wake up every day wanting to change, wanting to grow, wanting to do better than the day before. But then practically speaking, maybe it looks like exercise. Maybe it looks like reading books on marriage or parenting. Maybe it looks like taking classes online or figuring out your vocation for your life. Maybe it looks like more time in Scripture or actually keeping a Sabbath in your week. Maybe being a more healthy person looks like date nights with your spouse or intentional times with your friends to encourage each other and pray for each other and hold each other accountable and speak life into each other. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know the ways in which you need to maybe get a little more healthy over this next year, but think through those things. For me, there's a couple things that I've been thinking about, and they're a little bit connected, and I'll continue to do some thinking in the coming weeks about some goals for the next year. But one thing, I've talked about him before, I'm sure. I have a best friend who lives in Seattle. His name is David, and he was texting me the other day asking me for some advice about he wants to get back in Scripture, and he was wondering if I knew of any devotional material that could kind of help him do that a little bit better. And I had a couple thoughts and a couple of ideas, and we were going back and forth on some ideas, and kind of landed on, like, this is the thing I definitely think you should do. And then in that moment, I was thinking, well, geez, this is something that I should do then. And so we committed together as best friends to say, even though we're 500 miles apart or whatever, we're gonna read these passages of Scripture together and have these kind of devotional thoughts from one of my favorite theologians and biblical scholars over the next year. And we're going to commit to kind of growing together, and we're going to hold each other accountable to that and talk about it throughout the year. And hopefully by the end of 2019, we will have grown in our faith, and I'm sure that we will have grown in our friendship as well. So things like that. Are there goals that we can set? I've been wanting to get up earlier in the day for years. And I think this is the year. This is it, folks. This is it. I want to start my day with a time of peace and quiet and prayer and the newspaper and Scripture. I want to just start my day now, especially now that the girls are sleeping in a little longer than they used to. I want to start my day kind of centering myself on what's important and what's right and what's good. So for me, that's problematic when I start my day out just yelling at the kids, like, all right, get dressed and go get your breakfast. Like, that does something within my spirit. And so I don't want to start my day like that. I want to start it with peace, with serenity, with God. And so that's one thing. It's time for me to do that finally. So what is it for you? What's that thing or those things for you where your life has become stale and stagnant? Your faith has become kind of status quo, or you've pushed it to the side. How have you stopped becoming? And you've kind of just rested in who you are. Where have you focused too much on comfort and ease and stopped allowing yourself to grow and be challenged? Maybe this is the year where you challenge yourself a little and you say, this is going to stretch me out of my comfort zone, but I want to commit to doing these two or three things throughout this year. What could you commit to this year that would help you to start becoming the person God wants you to be? How could you start to say, how about again, dreaming of new, fun, creative, godly ways to exist in the world? How about 2019 is the year we commit to becoming everything God wants for us to become? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you are an on-the-move, nomadic kind of God. That you are a God who, if you got your way, you'd be in a tent, and your people would be following you through the desert, and you'd be on the go with us. Help us to be those kind of people. Help us to follow you in that kind of way, where we're always on the move, always asking what you might have for us in this next day, this next week, this next year. People that dream and say, man, how about we become something more healthy? Give us the courage to invite that change into our life and give us the wisdom to know the real specific practical things that we need to do, the changes that we need to make in order to actually become a healthier person in 2019. Give us that courage and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.